Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. In 1969, on the eve of its centennial celebration, the Boston Museum of Fine Arts announced a major coup. It had acquired an unknown and uncatalogued painting attributed to the great Renaissance master Raphael. The acquisition made headlines around the world and was a huge accomplishment for the MFA's charismatic director, Perry T. Rathbone. But it quickly plunged him into a tangled legal controversy. Italian investigators claimed it was stolen. International art historians claimed it was fake. Rathbone faced questions from a federal grand jury. Then U.S. customs officers arrived at the MFA with orders to seize the painting and return it to Italy. Rathbone would soon be forced to resign. Perry T. Rathbone's daughter, Belinda, was a young art student in Boston at the time. Now, decades later, she's written a book about her father and the infamous painting. It's called The Boston Raphael, A Mysterious Painting, An Embattled Museum in an Era of Change, and A Daughter's Search for the Truth. And Belinda Rathbone, welcome to Radio Boston, and thank you for this fascinating book.
Thank you.
So before we talk about what actually happened, your father was director of the MFA from 1955 to 72. The Raphael incident doesn't happen until 1969. Tell us a bit about your father's tenure before this, what his mission was, and how he was regarded as an MFA leader.
In 1955, my father arrived in Boston at a, shall we say, a low ebb in the museum's history. All the curators were kind of ancient and pretty stuck in their ways, and people were longing for change and renewal, and he was just the right kind of director to implement those changes, I think. He was known as a very dynamic person, a real showman, also a great connoisseur, and known for reaching out to the public and making it an exciting and attractive place that was welcoming and beautiful and elegant.
And part of his vision was to do something spectacular for the centennial celebration. So he acquires this Raphael. And tell us what kind of splash it initially made. We mentioned in the introduction that it created a sort of international sensation, right?
Oh, that's right. It was exactly as he hoped and planned. That is, that the announcement would reverberate around the world. But at the same time, there were doubts emerging about its authenticity. I think he almost anticipated that.
And we'll talk about those doubts in a moment, but I'd love to talk a little bit more about the painting. I have a picture in front of me. It's of a young Renaissance girl. Can you describe it a little bit?
Sure. This is a really exquisite little painting, 10 by 8 inches on panel, of a beautiful young girl of about 12 or 13. It was probably a marriage portrait. So it's a marvelous piece of history of Italian genealogy, but also just an exquisitely painted little portrait.
Mm. So I want to read something that you include in your book. This is something your father wrote in a letter to a colleague about a month after the painting was unveiled at the MFA. He writes, "I'm congratulating myself on the smoothness of the Raphael announcement and the fantastic coverage in the world press, just the kind of shot in the arm the old MFA needs once in a while. No difficulty so far, and I don't really anticipate any trouble because we have been so discreet." What potential trouble was he referring to there?
Well, I love this quote. It was an amazing thing to find. But he knew perfectly well that taking works of art out of Italy was going to be something of a dodgy situation. There were certainly loopholes in the system and gray areas of the law, which he would be taking advantage of. But it would be just as well if nobody asked too many questions about the details of the source of the picture.
It was potentially fraught, it sounds like. And indeed, in this case, it became fraught. So along comes a major player in this story, an Italian art sleuth named Rodolfo Siviero, who spent years recovering Italian artworks that had been plundered by the Nazis. He raises big questions about this Raphael. Tell us about the doubts that he raises.
He pretty much immediately took this opportunity to bring attention to himself as the only person who seemed to really care about what was going on with art being exported from Italy. And so as soon as it made headlines, he was on the case, hoping that it might have been removed from Italy without an export license. And in that situation, to take full advantage of it. Because the painting was unknown and uncatalogued and unregistered, it could be considered legal to remove it without asking permission of the Italian government.
Right. And of course, the MFA paid for it. It wasn't like it was stolen and spirited away.
Right? Oh, absolutely. And yeah. it was never stolen from anywhere, as far as we know. So it's a different kind of case.
But your father ends up in the middle of this awful controversy, faces a grand jury. The painting is repatriated to Italy. The MFA is fined. Soon your father is forced to resign. What kind of personal toll did this take on him? It must have been terrible.
I think it was. I think it was a great shock, which I don't think he ever fully recovered from. He was a very resilient person, very optimistic person, and luckily he was young enough to move on and actually start another career. But I think it was something that was a heartache all along that was hard to completely brush off, and it was for my mother too.
I can imagine. I want to ask you about some comments. Near the beginning of the book, you include some of the opinions of people who followed your father's career throughout this whole Raphael incident. And one said Perry had to take it for the whole rest of the art world. And so this raises the question, what impact did this whole incident have on the acquisition practices of other major museums?
It really was a wake-up call about how the world needed a stricter regulatory environment. It was exactly this time when UNESCO started discussing this issue for the first time. Although it took many years for these laws to be ratified, they are so much more sophisticated than they were.
Belinda, I'd love to just ask you what it was like to write about this. You write this book really with a kind of objective lens on the story, but you're, of course, his daughter. So I'm just wondering, was that a challenge? How did you sort of sort through that?
I went at this sort of as a biographer and in a biographical manner. And that process alone is a very objectifying experience. You start looking at your father or anyone close to you through their papers and documents and interviews, and you just start seeing them differently. In a way, what's kind of wonderful is that instead of only looking at him as a father, I started really seeing him as an equal. I just feel I understand him a lot better. It's been really fun, actually, to spend time with him. And
that's such a nice thing. You know, before we started to record, I asked you to remind me exactly when your father died, and you reminded me that it was 2000. And then you sort of smiled and said, but I think he's up there having a good laugh looking down at us or something like that.
Yeah.
So it raises the question, what would he think of this book?
I think he'd be absolutely amazed that I had done it in the first place. And so grateful that the art world and the world in general is finally going to understand this incident, and that it won't be sort of buried as a sort of vague, scandalous rumor. So I think he'd be very happy to have it sort of cleared up.
I want to just ask you about one more detail, and I'm not giving anything away because this is where the book starts, but it's sort of a kicker, and that is you took a trip back to Florence in 2005 to the Uffizi Gallery to see the painting.
Yes. It's in storage at the Uffizi.
And what was it like looking at that painting that, you know, had ended your father's career at the MFA?
Well, it was sort of anticlimactic. But it was sad. It was kind of weird. But I'm really glad that we saw it. It was sort of one of those things I had to do. My father was, you know, upset that it had been put away and not considered a Raphael anymore. And then if not, what was it? So I felt that we had to kind of bring some closure to it as a family.
Well, Belinda Rathbone is a writer and the daughter of the late Perry Rathbone, the former director of the MFA. Her new book is called The Boston Raphael, A Mysterious Painting, An Embattled Museum in an Era of Change, and A Daughter's Search for the Truth. Belinda Rathbone, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And that's it for today. Listeners, we love hearing from you. You can leave comments at radioboston.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony G. Brooks. Our program is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our producers are Amory Sievertson, Alex Kingsbury, Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. We're getting help this week from Virginia Marshall, engineering support from Eddie Mazulis. Tim Skog is our technical director. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.